Praise the Lord, church. That's so quiet. It really is. Very silent. Let's say it again. Praise the Lord, church. One more time. Well, we praise God because there is so much that he has done for us. Many of us don't even realize it because we have become complacent in what God does. But what I think about what he's done in my life here, as the old Negro spiritual says, it makes me want to dance, 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 shout, shout, shout. Because the reality of it is, today you're here as a result of God's grace and God's mercy. You didn't navigate it your way down I-4, the Altima, with all its changing lanes. You didn't made it through the week. And so for me, when I say praise the Lord, I say praise the Lord because as I tell some people that when I lay in my bed, I look up, I actually see a ceiling. And there was a time in my life when I looked up, I saw the sky. So I'm so grateful for what God has done for me. 20 years ago, I walked into the Central Church of the Nazarene downtown Orlando. Broken, on drugs, nowhere to go, nothing to do, and God saved my life. So I look back on that time from 20 years ago, September 21st, 1997 to today, and I can see what God has done for me. So every opportunity, every speaking engagement, no matter where I preach, I always start out with praise the Lord. And my expectation is an arousing response. Let's try it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. You know, as a pastor, you prepare to speak. And when you're visiting another church, you never know what they're going to set up in relationship to praise and worship service. But everything that was done this morning, it only confirms the message that God has given me and he laid on my heart to be able to speak this morning. It's all about service. It's all about doing those things that God calls us to do in our humanity as Christians. And so that constant battle of trying to be in our humanity but yet be spiritual is the struggle. It's the struggle we go through to become what God has called us to be. But I believe in my heart and in the depths of my soul that each and every person here has a mission and God has placed in their heart. It's just us that has to recognize and identify it and then move forward to what God is trying to do and what God is calling us to do as a result of being his instrument, his tool, and his vessel for others to come to know him. And so I want to come from, I want to be able to read from Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 to 25. Would you open your Bibles? When you have it, say amen, Pastor. Amen. Amen, I got it. Verse 23, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demonic, epilepsy, and paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. First of all, Lord, I'm just grateful and thankful for the honor to be here today. But I know, Lord, that it's really your plan and your leading. I thank you on what you have placed upon Pastor DeWayne's heart. I thank you, Lord, for being here back where everything has started 20 years ago. And Lord, you have been faithful and walked with me ever since. But now I stand before your people. And I ask, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross as you minister to them. Let the words that flow from my mouth, Lord, be the words that you, Holy Spirit, have placed in my heart. And then that the hearts of the people will be impacted. No one will be the same. but all would change that will allow us to go out and use what you have given us as a sign of evidence and witness unto you that other lives may be touched and changed. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have invited some friends, and they're sitting here in the front row. And part of my message is also about involving them. I want to ask them to stand up. Pete, Mike. And they're all... And for all of the Centerpoint Church, for those who was there the first day I walked in, would you stand up? 20 years ago, I walked into Centerpoint Church, Central Church of the Nazarene. Thank you very much. And I will relate that into the sermon as we go along, but there's an old saying that many of us were surviving on the prayers of others. That's how we make it. The effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And it's an amazing thing that when you're going through all of the changes and how we submit our bodies towards destruction and everything that the world has thrown at us, it's an amazing thing how God's grace and mercy continue to surround us and that provides a hedge of protection. That even in the state of sin, God is watching out for us. God is providing, because there is a thing called everlasting love that God is constantly trying to draw us to him. And so every morning when we wake up, it's another chance at redemption, another chance to draw closer to God. That's God's love. That's God's mercy, because in reality, none of us deserve to be there, but God in his love sent his one and only begotten son to die for us. And when we look at ourselves in a way, we position ourselves to be susceptible to everything that the world is throwing at. But God continued to watch out over us. And the thing about this passage is that this passage is all about what God's love is in relationship to healing his people. And that Jesus was going about throughout all of Syria, and his fame had spread. And the Bible speaks about it, and fame being spread that they brought them. Now, when you read this passage, there is a subtlety in it that says, and they brought him. I read that passage many times before. I seen it. I looked over it. I looked over it in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. It talked about how they brought them unto Jesus to be healed. Peter's mother, how he brought his mother unto Jesus. We look over in Luke and we can see how they brought them unto Jesus. It's a subtle thing. And if you're not focused on the scripture, you can miss it. And the subtlety of it is this: they brought them unto Jesus. The thing that caught my attention was the fact that they, who are they that brought them? Who are they that had a hope enough after hearing the witness about Jesus Christ that they would go and get all these sick people and bring them unto Jesus? Now, if I was a sick person and I had heard of all the things that he had done, I would have been hopping, crawling, jumping, running, trying to get to Jesus. But the Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible says that they brought Jesus, that brought them unto Jesus. I remember as a child that when my mother would be praying and I would walk by her bedroom door and the door would be open and she would be praying for her son, who was a juvenile delinquent, facing a sentence to go to the Connecticut State School for Boys, but yet she was praying for God to do something. And God, in his infinite mercy and grace, had my mother at a church, a Catholic church, that had a connection with a lawyer who had a connection with the juvenile detention center. And in the process of his connection, he was able to go to the juvenile judge and get me sentenced to a private Catholic school from age 8 to 16. My mother, every time she prayed, she brought me unto Jesus. The prayer wasn't about her, but the prayer was about me. And what we see here in these people that brought them unto Jesus is that their hope was not for them, but the hope was for those they were bringing unto Jesus. Can you imagine a blind person? If you ever walk with a blind person, it takes time. You got to be very careful because you have to direct them. You have to lead them. You have to be responsible for them. Every step, every obstacle, every stumbling block, every turn and where they had to walk, you have to be there. You have to hold on to them. It's a responsibility and a challenge. But they were willing to make the sacrifice, and they did what? Brought them unto Jesus. The lame person that couldn't walk. Have you ever used a crutch with the padding underneath your arm? After a while, it begins to hurt. Imagine walking around with a branch, a rough branch. They didn't have foam rubber to put on that branch. But you're carrying this person. You're coming from Jerusalem. There was no Amtrak, none of the modern inventions that we do to travel. But you're carrying this person, the blind person. You're carrying the person that couldn't even walk. You're pulling them or you have them on the back of a car. But you bring them unto Jesus. Why? Because you heard about this man named Jesus. His fame has spread throughout the area. And the people who had brought them heard this and had this information. They brought them unto Jesus. If I could just get them to Jesus, they can be healed. If I just get them there, that's all it takes is for me to get them there. If I could just get them there, maybe this man that I heard about, this Jesus, would be able to heal them. They're willing to make a sacrifice. They're willing to put themselves on the line. It's a challenge. It's a challenge that most of us fail to respond to because nothing is ever in our convenient time. Because you're taking a trip. These were people that saw the need and decided to do the deed. It's a trip. It's a sacrifice. Oh, Lord, I got to get up and take John over to Galilee. Heard about this thing, this man called Jesus. I could hear him telling and explaining it to his wife, Aaron, Moshe, all of them. Making a decision to get this person to Jesus. The question that's begging to be answered is, are you one of them? It's the ministry of the unnoticed, people that are doing things, people that are praying for you when you're sick, people that are doing things and keeping you in mind, people that are contributing, not knowing, not sure of all the things that's going to happen with their contribution, but they have a hope that it will reach somebody. And a life will be changed. It's the unnoticed, the people that are always in the background. Go to the hospital and you'll see them. They're manning the phones, they're pushing wheelchairs, they're delivering flowers, they're sitting in the waiting room praying with people. It's what Dr. J.V. Marsh was doing all the time, sitting in the hospital. Sitting in the waiting room, praying with people who are worried, concerned about a loved one who's going through an operation. It's the day that nobody sees. It's the day that when you go to the prison, somebody's teaching the guys a Bible class or teaching them about a GED program so that when they get out, they can have a foundation to start a new life. It's the day you don't see. It's the day that you see at the soup and the feeding line. It's the person that has the hand out, what's that, using their hands to pass somebody a bowl of soup and telling them at the same time, Jesus love you. You go to the feeding program and you can see today, they're the ones that's carrying the trays. They're the ones that's sitting down praying with the homeless and the addicted. They're the ones that's passing out donuts and coffee. It's the day that you don't notice. They're in the background all the time. When you're feeling ill, it's the day that gives you a call to check up on you to see how you're doing. It's the day that's at the side of their bed praying for their children, hoping that they get better, hoping that they learn to behave themselves, hoping they don't get in trouble, hoping that they don't be around a bad influence. It's the day that you don't see. And the Bible tells us they brought them unto Jesus. They were willing to make a sacrifice. They were willing to go through all the changes that they, the people they brought, couldn't go through themselves. Their concern was for them. And September 21st, 1997, long before I got to Central Church of the Nazarene, the board of directors of the church had made a decision that they wanted to have more of an impact. And while I'm out here on this side of the streets doing everything that I could possibly do to destroy my life, they're doing everything that they possibly could in prayer, fasting and praying, and asking God to give them something that they would be able to allow them to help people like me and other people that are out there on the street. And so what happened is they come up with Central Care on this side. And on this side right here, I've been to every drug rehab center you could possibly name in Florida. But when they opened up there, for the first time I was in a biblical bank. Rehab center. You understand, it's the day that's behind the scenes. It's the day that are doing things and putting themselves at the feet of God and say, Lord, use me. Show me. What can I do? There's much that you can do. It's always the day that are unnoticed. That's how the church operates. It operates with people like Bill Lawson and them cleaning up the church at 5 o'clock in the morning on the day of Sunday morning and getting ready for the feeding program. Nobody saw him picking up the papers in the parking lot. You come and you drove into the parking lot and the church was beautiful. Oh my God, it's so clean out here. It's the day that puts the toilet paper inside the bathrooms, that keeps the dispensary filled with tissue. It's the day that come in and clean up the church. Make sure all of the seats are clean so that when you sit down, your clothes don't get messed up. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you don't know. You walk in the bathroom, and if the bathroom is dirty, it's the day that has a complaint that somebody didn't do their job. But you understand that everything that is done, what God does, is always behind the scenes. We don't understand it. We know that God's going to do something, but Lord, please do it in my time. And please show me where you're taking me to. It's the day, the unnoticed. It's a ministry. And we don't even know we're involved in a ministry. That's how unnoticed it is, because serving God, loving God, and being a child of God should come naturally where you don't have to struggle and strain to try to do it. It's like the New Year's resolution when you make the promise, today I'm going on the diet, I'm going to stay to it. And that's on January 1st. January 10th, oh Lord, I broke it. You understand? This whole thing that we live with God, God called us to do things that we don't even know that he's calling us to do it, but God placed something in our heart, and what he placed in our heart is the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit that allows us to be able to feel a compassion and a love for someone else. We become a part of their day, that group called the day that brought them. Dr. Martin Luther King said, true compassion is more than flinging a coin at a beggar. And there are three things that you can recognize about they. Three things we can take with us today, and as we think about it, hopefully that as you go through the week and as you remember the message, you can see that the three things are how they become so important. And the first one is hope. That's my first point, hope. Because all of these people that brought them unto Jesus only heard about him. Only heard about him. Enough information to say, if I can just get them there. These people had a hope that went beyond themselves but for others. It's what we do. It's what we do as Christians. It's what we do as followers of Christ. Because God so loved, he did what? Hold up. I'm talking. God so loved, he did what?
Gave.
God so loved, he did what?
Gave.
Don't hold back on it. God so loved because he what?
Gave.
And there's always a blessing in giving. The thing about this giving that God placed in our heart is that God placed the giving for us to give unto others. Because right after this passage, this story comes the Beatitudes. this hope that we have for others. There's a reason why Central Care, because it's a hope. There's a reason why there's a coalition, because of a hope. There's a reason why, what's the name, the Salvation Army. There's a hope. All of these things that we do, care for pastors, is a hope that we can be able to touch a pastor's life that would not allow him to just leave the ministry. The record, the statistics are that every 3 to 5 years, the pastors are leaving. They only last 5 years. But there's a hope. And what was the hope of starting an organization for the pastors? Why? So that we can stop the flow of pastors leaving the church. It's a hope. Everything we do in relationship to Christ, it starts out as a hope that if we are operating under the process of God, we start out with a hope, and that hope is always for others. It's not for ourselves. God so loved, he gave. The second point is this, that there is a commitment. It's a consistency about our hope that allows us to be able to endure, that allows us to be able to continue to go forward. It's a consistency to persevere. To walk with somebody when they can't walk, to carry somebody when I'm tired, to carry somebody when you're tired. It's a consistency. It's a consistency to your hope that allows you to endure and to continue to go forward in the name of Jesus because of your love, because of your commitment and your faithfulness to Christ. It's a consistency. It's a commitment. You made a commitment. Why did I make this commitment? Because I'm a child of God and I want to follow God. And God is leading and directing me to make a difference. Amen. It's a consistency that allows us to be able to impact the life. It was once said to me, they hear more of what you do than what you say. Well, we can talk compassion all we want. We can scream from the mountaintop of how much we love people, but if it doesn't show up in our life, if it doesn't show up in our action, it will never be considered to be true compassion. True compassion forces you to make a commitment. It forces you to be consistent in your walk with Christ. It forces you. But it's also something else about consistency, and that's why the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, because consistency becomes very boring. Getting up, do the same thing day after day. That's the reason why we have vacations. Let's break this thing up. I need a trip. I need to relax for a minute. Pastor Dwayne is on 12-week sabbatical. He's really breaking it up. You understand? Consistency is boring. It's getting up doing the same thing. And the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, but Lord, you got to show me something now. Progress, the process of deliverance come in increments. The process of watching your child grow up is in increments. How do I know? I see people in the grocery store standing by the vegetable stands, and I walk by. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? How you doing, Mother? How's that girl of yours? Oh, pray for her. You understand? And the reality of it is the same thing that goes over on Mercy Drive. You go through the same thing. You worry about your children, you worry about your finance, you worry about your health, you worry about how you're going to hold on. You worry, 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 worry. It's the same thing. And so that's the reason why the first law of nature is self-preservation, because we can only think about ourselves, but God tells us the complete opposite. It's not about you, it's about what I do. Commitment. It's a hard thing to do. Because it requires faithfulness. It requires a belief that what I'm doing is the right thing and the only thing, and this is what God has called me to do. And then you just live it out. Every day you wake up and you do the same thing until it becomes a habit. Worshiping God is not a struggle. Helping somebody is not a struggle. It's not a challenge. You do it every day. And the third point is they loved. You go to the hospital and you see the person that's manning the phones, pushing the wheelchairs, giving out the flowers and doing visitation. Love what they do because they feel as though that they are answering the call of God like in their life. And they're happy and they fulfill. Yes, they have their up and downs. And we say at the Heart of Mercy, yes, Lord, thank you. I'm over here on the mountaintop. And the next day is, Lord, have mercy. I'm down in the valley. But we live in between that. And when we begin to have a consistency, it allows us to be able to have the endurance because as a result of the love of God that's in our life and that we return that love as a result of bearing witness unto Christ. That's why Jesus said, when I ascend to heaven, I want you to bear witness. Wait on the Holy Spirit who will empower you to do it. But you can't bear witness to Christ about the truth if you don't know the truth. Because in order to bear witness, you have to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. And you bear witness unto him. How do you bear witness? By the love that you have for one another. That's why Jesus said, the world will know that you are my disciples. Not by what you say, not by speaking in tongues, not by having a little religious saying every time somebody say good morning, but how you live your life. That's what it's about. No more, nothing less. Helping others is not rocket science. It's about being obedient to the word of God. Every blessing you have, everything that you have is a result of God's grace and mercy for your life, but God give it to you so that you can bless others. Ask the children of Israel who left Egypt with all the gold, and with all the silver, was blessed by the Egyptians because God had did something to them that when they were leaving, they gave them everything. As soon as they get out to the wilderness, God wanted it all back for a temple. Build me a tabernacle. Ask those whosoever heart is willing, because he doesn't forces us to bring them unto him, but we recognize the fact that if I get them to Jesus, Jesus would do the healing. And Paul said it this way, one planted, I water. But who gives the increase? Who gives the increase?
God.
You want to match them? Who gives the increase?
God.
Everybody, whatever you have, is the result of God's grace and mercy. Listen, I walked in the Central Church of the Nazarenes September 21st, 1997. And I told the praise team about this. I've been on a two-week binge. Shooting heroin, cocaine, smoking. God had been touching my life leading up to that point. Everywhere I went, I saw the sign. He talked to God today. Real men love Jesus. Real men pray. Too blessed to be stressed. I'm still crossing the street to go to the crack house until I got tired of it and I begged God to take it away from me. I walked into Central Church that Sunday morning, September 21st, 1997. Bill Austin coming out of the sanctuary. Prayer. When I walked in, the prayer room was right there off to the right. Bill Austin was coming out of the sanctuary to the left. I walked in and I said, he said, hi, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. I said, guy across the street, J.V. Marsh, told me to come over here. I walked in. Bill Austin was coming out and had his hand out. Remember, a two-week binge, I could smell myself to my shoes. I had enough crud on my teeth to make another meal. Everything. I was filthy. How you doing? And I walked up to him and Bill Austin walked right by my hand and embraced me. Some years later, I read the story of Mother Teresa on how the leopards in India were laying in the bed and the reporter asked Mother Teresa, how much can you love a person when they're in this condition? And Mother Teresa walked over to the bed, sat on the side of the bed and picked up this leopard and embraced her. And then she looked at the reporter and said, you can love him that much. Amen. Do you understand? Each and every one of you have a mission and a responsibility to do something. You may not be a preacher. You may not even be an evangelist. You may not be able to sing a note, but you can do something. Your bringing them to Jesus may require you to be at your bed before you go to sleep and pray for others and pray for the world. But that's something you have to do. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. And many of us Christians, what we do, we have that once a year sacrifice. And what I mean by that when I was living on the streets and I was at Central Care every Thanksgiving, there would be more volunteers than the people at than the homeless people. You can go beyond that, and you can go much further than that. It doesn't necessarily have to be that once a year. There are people on your jobs whose countenance you can look at and you can see that there's something wrong. If you did nothing but just go up there and just say, hey, is everything all right? Yeah. And you can tell by the answer and say, look, I just want you to know, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. It means a lot. It really does. Because everything is not about resources. Sometimes the resources is just your compassion and your sensitivity and empathy for somebody else. I want to close with the story. Some of you might have heard it. And if you did, hear it again. There was a young man that was in a hole in the ground, and he couldn't get out. A lawyer walked by him. No reflection on you, Clee. But a lawyer walked by, and he screamed out, help, help, to the top of his lungs, help, help. The lawyer looked down and saw how deep the hole is. He wrote a brief and threw it down there to him. A priest came by. Help, help, help me. The priest looked down and wrote a prayer, threw it down to him. A physician, a doctor came by. He said, help, help. Doctor looked around and didn't see anything he can use immediately to get him out of this, so he wrote him a prescription, threw it down to him. His friend came by, his best friend came by, saw him, help, help, looked down there, jumped into the hole. He said, man, are you crazy? He said, both of us are stuck here now. He said, nah, don't worry about it. He said, I've been here before. I know the way out. Amen. Yes. You understand? Each and every one of us been there before. Yeah. I don't care how many zeros you have by whatever you have in the bank. You've been there in one way or another. You've been there. There's always somebody else you can help. There's always somebody else that allows you to bring them unto Jesus. Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. Now listen, Pastor Alyssa said that I can do an altar call, which I do. I believe in my heart as a result of my relationship with Centerpoint, which is formerly Central Church of the Nazarene, that allowed me to go into the Central Care Mission. And I believe sincerely in my heart that the question, are you one of them? Centerpoint, you have answered it. You have already answered it. But there's much more you can do. And so what I want to do is open up the altar. I don't know where you are in your life right now. Maybe you are only giving halfway. Maybe you're only giving to the level of your convenience. God did not call us to convenience. God called us to sacrifice. So the altar is open. If you feel as though that there's more you can do and you want to do more, I'm asking you to come to the altar and just say, Lord, what is it? What is it that you would have me to do to make a difference? What is it that you would have me to do that someone else may come to know you through me as a result of the grace and mercy you shed in my life? What is it, Lord? You go, you know, there's a thing about going to the throne of God for others. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness, and all these other things will be added on. We go to the altar too many times begging God for us. What we want, how we want it, when we want it. But go to God for somebody else, and God can honor that, because why? You're following in the footsteps of God. God so loved, he did what? God so loved, he did what? Come and give yourself to God so that he can use you as your tool, your vessel. Amen? The altar is open. Please come forward. Anyone who wants to come forward, don't look around, see who else is going to come. You come. You be that instrument that God can use. You be that vessel that God can do something with. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. I see, Lord, your children, including myself, we are here, Lord. And everyone that is in their seats who didn't come up, Lord, we know that the source of all of our hope, because that is the substance of what we have faith in. It's the result of what you placed in us. But for all your children out here, Lord, we don't have no other way to go. We trust you. We believe in your word. We stand on the foundation of this book that you have given us as a map quest to how you will desire us to live. Give us strength and purpose and perseverance each day to follow that path, to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in our life. We realize, Lord, that Jesus only said what you have told him. And we realize, Lord, the Holy Spirit will only speak of what he have heard Jesus, and his instructions come directly from him. And so when our heart, Lord, is filled as a result, and we feel that inkling, that calling of something to do, give us a spirit of obedience to follow it. Rather we understand it or not, but we trust you, Lord. So for all your children that are here at the altar as well as in their seats, my prayer for each and every one of us, Lord, that we would become obedient, that you would look down upon us, and that you would use us as a tool in the vessels to be they who brought them. But we realize it is not our responsibility to heal them, but Lord, it is our job to bring them. It is our job to plant. It is our job to water. But we know and understand with the deep faith that is implanted into our hearts that you will give an increase. So help us, Lord. Give us discernment that when those moments of opportunity, the moments of when they're vulnerable, that we would plant that seed, that we would be that example. Give us a word that as we cross their path each and every day, Lord, that you, Lord, would touch their hearts. And so with all of that in mind, Lord, we want you to use us. We want to be your tool, your vessel. And we pray all of this, Lord, in the sweet, precious name of our Lord and Savior, the one whom you sent to us as a result of your love. In his name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.